What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try. You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
In Florida, a man and his monkey are arrested after a car theft. In South Dakota, a chief deputy is run down during a 115-mile-per-hour police chase. And in Venezuela, boom. And a Venezuelan moped gang in New York City causes havoc. These stories and more are coming at you today, Lundy Graw, Monday, February 12th on Real Life Real Crime Daily. And I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Everton.
And I'm Mike Agavino, and I can barely move.
I bet. A long carnival weekend, right?
I thought about bringing an IV in here today.
Yeah. Liquid IV?
Yeah, liquid IV, so I can just
one time
get something pumped into this body so I can continue to function.
One time in Vegas, I had two of them back to back. Still didn't help that much.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
Better than nothing, I guess.
There's a local company, actually, I'm talking to them, that wants us to get those treatments, wants to come in and do it on the show.
And
we drew straws and I got the short one. So I'm the guinea pig.
You should be at the Zulu parade catch me a coconut.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the big deal.
I try not to catch coconuts.
Well, I think they banned them from throwing them because of insurance reasons, people getting hit, some assholes.
Oh, man.
But anyway. Lundy Graw, and let's get down to some true crime for Lundy.
And we got a good one straight out of the gate coming out of Florida, y'all. A man was arrested for auto theft, and when they arrest him, he gets out of the car and he has a small diaper-clad monkey clinging to his chest.
Got a monkey.
They arrested him after he drove a stolen car into a ditch, and investigators say that Cody Blake Hessen, 23, took the vehicle from a driveway of a St. Petersburg residence. The keys to the unlocked auto were actually on the floorboard of that residence. Hessen then drove the car about 35 miles to a Tampa suburb where he drove off the edge of a parking lot and into a ditch. When the sheriff's deputies detained him, there was a leashed monkey attached to Hessen's pink polo shirt.
That's nice.
Now, since Hessen didn't have an exotic animal permit, The monkey was placed in the custody of the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. The animal was subsequently transported to the Suncoast Primate Sanctuary. At one point, a deputy uncuffed Hessen so he could sign paperwork and say your goodbyes to the monkey, who was then placed in a pet carrier, but not before Hessen requested a kiss on the lips from the monkey. One deputy's body-worn camera actually recorded the entire interaction between Hessen and the monkey. And, of course, we have it. And, y'all, I'm telling you, of all the videos that we've posted on that Facebook page, this might be one of the best and most entertaining. So you have got to see it. And as for our monkey-clad car thief, well, he was charged with auto theft and was booked into the county jail on a felony charge. And he may also face a charge for possessing that unlicensed monkey.
There you go.
Well, did he at any point say the whole thing was the monkey's idea? And
he never blamed it on the monkey. He never threw the monkey under the bus. Let's say that.
Because the monkey could get convicted of a crime, couldn't he? Didn't we have one of those at one point? Maybe it was in another country.
Yeah, so the video, y'all, I'm telling you, it's one of the most entertaining, funny videos that you will ever see that was from a real incident.
And, y'all, happened. The Facebook page Jim is talking about, in case you don't know, is the Real Life Real Crime Daily Facebook page.
That's right. Just punch in Real Life Real Crime Daily in the search bar, and it'll bring you right to that that incident.
He did originate in Pinellas County, even though the ditch was Tampa. He started in St. Pete, so that's officially a Pinellas thing. Those cops look way too serious, though, for that. I mean, you got the monkey there. You got to lighten up.
Well, he stole a car. I mean,
you don't know if he's on him or whatever. Well, you know what? I don't think that's a death penalty offense, but let's talk about the death penalty for a minute. And I read this, and Jim, you gave it to me, but I read this because I'm interested in this, you know that. But lawyers for a group of death row inmates who have run out of appeals are expected to argue to the South Carolina Supreme Court that two of the state's execution methods, the electric chair, which is old, and firing squad, which is new, are cruel and unusual punishments. Attorneys for the four inmates also plan to argue that a 2023 law meant to allow lethal injections to restart keeps secret too many details about the new drug and the protocol used to kill prisoners. They killed other people. But anyway, there are currently 33 inmates on South Carolina's death row awaiting the outcome of this. While there hasn't been a formal moratorium, the state hasn't performed an execution in nearly 13 years, kind of like Louisiana, after the drugs it used for lethal injection expired and companies refused to sell more to prison officials unless they could hide their identities from the public, meaning the companies, y'all. A nationwide shortage of lethal injection drugs has led other U.S. states to add new execution methods to their death penalty protocols. Like I told you about on Real Life Real Crime Original, Alabama just used nitrogen hypoxia, a method that is authorized in the wake of a string of botched lethal injections that two death row prisoners survived. One of them in Alabama, y'all, I'm about to tell you about it. It was crazy. The controversial method had never been tested inside the chamber before. Alabama used it on to execute Kenneth Eugene Smith last month. But before that, Kenneth Smith, they strapped him to the table and they couldn't find a vein on him. They worked for like an hour and a half. They stuck him everywhere between his toes and whatever, and they had to get him off of death row. So that's when they went to the nitrogen hypoxia, and he was the first one. And guess what? It was very successful. The controversial – Alabama, along with Oklahoma and Mississippi, are the first states to allow execution via asphyxiation by nitrogen. And no legislation has been proposed in South Carolina to add nitrogen gas as of yet. South Carolina says all three execution methods allowed in the state, electrocution, lethal injection, and now firing squad, fits its existing protocols. Courts have never held that the death has to be instantaneous or painless. wrote Grayson Lambert, a lawyer for the governor's office. Four inmates are suing, but four more have also run out of appeals. The state asked the Supreme Court to toss out the lower court ruling after a 2022 trial that the electric chair and the firing squad are cruel and unusual punishments. And, y'all, they basically, they're saying, and all these arguments to sum it up for you real quick, they're saying, hey, there's nothing in the law that says you're not supposed to suffer, right? Think about what they did to their victims, y'all. South Carolina's current execution law requires inmates to be sent to the electric chair unless they choose a different method. Lawmakers added firing squad as an acceptable method in 2021 as part of the same law that restored the electric chair. South Carolina's first scheduled execution by firing squad was scheduled for April 2022, but the state's highest court issued a temporary order to stop it from happening. In Mississippi, Oklahoma, and Utah also allow executions by firing squad. And to my knowledge, Utah is the only one that's ever used it. But South Carolina prosecutors have sent only three new prisoners to death row in the past 13 years, facing rising costs, the lack of lethal injection drugs, and more vigorous defenses. They are choosing to accept guilty pleas and life in prison without parole.
And, right, which just overcrowds the prisons. I don't know. If I had the I'd probably take the bullets and just.
Yeah, the thing is, and Louisiana is a prime example. The one guy here from Livingston Parish, I did a story on Real Life Real Crime. He's been on death row for over 40 years.
Wow.
And his partner in crime died on death row from cancer. But all their appeals have been exhausted. And, you know, every time they file an appeal, the parish or the county, if you're not from Louisiana, has to answer it, and it costs millions and millions and millions of dollars in these appeals process to put them to death.
Why is the drug cocktail so hard to freaking get?
It's because they found out they were using it you buy these different drugs, right, and they have to mix them together in prison to do it. Once they found out that they were buying it for that, they were like, shit,
pharmaceutical companies don't want to sell it to them?
Absolutely not.
Wow, that's the first case of pharma turning down a dollar.
Right. Well, that's the way it is. So about to start dancing again in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Shout out to Astepro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
My allergies are throwing my whole morning off. Do I sound different to you?
I love it. You sound like, it's that time of year there, bro.
I sound different to me. I feel like I'm in a submarine.
Yeah, well, have you tried Astepro? It's faster, bro.
Oh.
Right? Astepro is the first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. Astepro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astepro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Hey, I use this, and you should too, Jim. Last weekend, I planted my garden, and it's that time of the year, and my allergies really kicked up with it, right? I use Astepro every time my nasal allergies flare up, and I'm always amazed at how fast I'm back in the game, down on those rows, playing my stuff.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astepro. Go to AstepoAllergy.com for a discount so you can Astepro and go today. AstepoAllergy.com. It's faster, bro. Uses directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Astepro and go.
Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email or she can record her voice if she preferred to do that, or she can do both. Cool. And mylifeinabook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book, as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different, and in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with My Life in a Book is simple, and in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
Wow. Okay, when I decided to do this story, I didn't expect to have a blood alcohol level remaining of 0.26, but I'm going to give it a go. Jim and Woody work really hard to keep me in check and focus me away from stories that aren't actual crimes and to steer me away from controversial or political issues. The next story involves illegal immigration and some of the negative consequences our cities are suffering as a result of the massive wave of illegal immigration over the past few years. This story is not about placing blame. I do want to share a personal story so you'll have some perspective on why this story is particularly important to me. My family on my mother's side came from the city of Bari, Italy, to the United States in 1918. They were poor. They could not afford to bring the entire family over at once. And so my grandfather would send whatever money he could back home to Italy to the remaining family there, and people would come over one at a time as money was raised for them to do this. And they would go over to Palermo and take the boat from Palermo. My mother's family, and indeed all of the Italian families and many other immigrants around the world at that time, came to this country for the opportunity to work and to earn a better life than the one they had in their home country. There were no government entitlement programs for these people. They came for the opportunity to work and to earn. Much of the Italian wave came to the country between 1880 and 1920, attracted by the opportunity to participate in the construction of many of the New York City bridges and tunnels, most of which still exist today. But in the early 1920s, the bridges and tunnels were largely built, and the government decided they didn't need any more Italians. And that's when they put the Immigration Act of 1924 into effect. And what that act did is it went back to the 1850s, 1860s, and set quotas for countries based upon how many people were coming over from that country back at that point. The net result of that change in law meant 80% less Italians were allowed into the United States post-1924 than had been allowed prior. And the result of that was that families that intended to reunite in the United States in full were prevented from doing that. The families got split and there was no way for those left in Italy to get here. My mother was one of only two of the 7 children in her family that were actually born in the United States. The others were all born in Italy. 2 brothers she never met drowned in the East River before she was even born. They managed their way onto a ship in Palermo to come to Ellis Island, but they had no papers allowing them to immigrate. So they knew once the boat docked at Ellis Island that they would just get sent back home. And so they decided to take their chances and dove off the boat, trying to swim through New York Harbor to land, and they drowned. So they broke the law and they shouldn't have been on the ship to begin with. And so even though they were desperate to come here and work and earn, they never got that chance. My mother was born some 10 years later. I hate the Immigration Act of 1924 because it separated a family that, you know, would be together here in the country today if it hadn't been put into effect. And there's two uncles and who knows how many cousins and second cousins, et cetera, that would have been a part of things here that weren't because they died. So the country didn't want any more Italians, so they passed a law. I am a big believer in legal immigration. Immigrants built this country because they came here to make a contribution and to make a better life for their families off of their own sweat. If we can verify the identity of the person, if they are, if they're coming here to make a contribution to our culture and adopt our culture, I say the more the merrier. So sorry for that. But now a quick trip to New York City. Police say members of a ruthless Venezuelan migrant gang that terrorized New York City women by stealing their phones used hackers to breach banking apps. The migrants who allegedly stole wallets and cell phones from at least 62 women were pictured leaving a New York City police precinct after they were arrested in a raid on Monday. Shocking footage of one of the thefts, we'll post this, shows a woman being dragged by a moped by thieves trying to steal her phone. Police arrested at least seven migrants, all believed to be from Venezuela, in a safe house in the Bronx after executing a search warrant. They believe the gang is led by this Venezuelan ringleader named Victor Parra, who's 30 years old. The gang employs several sophisticated hackers who hack the phones and use the devices to make fraudulent purchases and clear out the victims' bank accounts before sending the phones to Colombia. So like you saw with yesterday's robbery, where the proceeds are being shipped to Miami, Houston, and eventually Colombia, they're a little more sophisticated in that they're hacking into the phone, stealing people's banking records, et cetera, said New York PD Chief of Detectives Joseph Kenny. These perpetrators are part of a sophisticated criminal enterprise made up of immigrants who have recently arrived in the United States, said Kenny. This network of thieves predominantly lives in the migrant shelter system. Kenny added that the gangs were able to gain access to people's Venmo, Zelle, and other money transfer accounts before making purchases, transferring money to other accounts, or withdrawing cash. Once the accounts are wiped clean, they then ship the phones overseas to sell them. On Tuesday, one of the gang members, Kleber Andrade, age 20, was arraigned in Manhattan criminal court and held on $10,000 bail after he was found to be linked to 62 separate occurrences. 62 separate occurrences. I can go on. There's a link, but the sophistication level is high. There are groups that are coming over together with the entire purpose of coming into the country being to commit these kind of crimes. You may have seen stuff exposed on TikTok in the past week where people from China that are coming over in groups are actually given maps with holes, where holes exist in the border wall, telling them where to cross, then who to seek immediately, and given their assignments as far as what crimes to commit. And so it's a big issue. It's an issue touching everybody's lives. Doesn't matter which of the 50 states you live in. It's a fact of life today. And again, people that are coming over for a better opportunity, that want to work and want to be a part of this culture, hey, the more the merrier. But those that are coming over to commit crime and make these cities unlivable, and you know, with the Oakland stories and everything, California, New York, all these stories that we end up telling on the show, this is the number one cause of that crime. So anyway, I've said my piece, and I didn't blame anyone.
Any final thoughts?
And Jim and Woody, you're looking at me like, "Whoa, how'd you sneak that shit by us?"
Well, I mean, I agree that a certain percentage come over here to be shitheads, and then that's life.
Well, if you can separate the shitheads from the good ones,
yeah, I mean,
keep the good ones, send the shitheads back.
Answer, then there'd be none of that.
Well, let's go to Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, my peeps.
Your peeps. And authorities in western Wisconsin arrested a man for his sixth DWI.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a lot.
After he tried to elude officers by turning off his taillights. On February 3rd, around 10:15 p.m., officers responded to a reported domestic disturbance. Officials say the suspect fled before those officers arrived. Officers found the suspect, later identified as 38-year-old man from Sparta, a short time later. The release states that the man was uncooperative and fled the scene in a vehicle. Authorities then started a pursuit with the man, who turned off his taillights in an attempt to elude law enforcement. Interesting. I don't know how he turned off his taillights during the chase. I guess he just turned off his, but you would, if you turn off your headlights,
you turn off both.
Well, no.
When you hit the brakes, though, they come back on.
Had his unit rigged with a switch where he could turn off one headlight.
Well, maybe he had
one headlight. So when he went down the long straight area where they were selling dope, they wouldn't think it was a cop car.
Oh.
So you can be
good strategies.
You can turn switches off. And same thing, brake lights.
Well, maybe he did that as well. And the suspect reportedly left that road and went through a cornfield. Eventually, the vehicle got stuck on an embankment and he was taken into custody. Of course, he's currently in jail. But those charges with a sixth offense DWI, let's discuss that for a minute. Mm-hmm. Sixth offense blows my mind. What are y'all's thoughts? Should he lose his driver's rights for life?
I'm going to tell you why that's not necessarily as it seems. Okay. I've had people here get arrested for 10, 11, 12 DWIs. But the thing is that those arrests are on their rap sheets. Let's say I get a DWI in Livingston Parish, mm-hmm. right? And then I go get a DWI in East Feliciana Parish. Well, East Feliciana Parish, to make it a second offense, DWI has to go get what they call voicinization, where I took the plea for the misdemeanor in Livingston Parish. That judge has to read out this big, long-ass thing, what you're getting convicted of, right? Mm-hmm. And so the East Feliciana Parish district attorney is not going to go send somebody to Livingston for a misdemeanor charge, because second offense is still a misdemeanor in Louisiana, to get that voicinization. That voicinization has to be read to me in East Feliciana for it to make a second offense. So that's how it gets away. Then I go get arrested in a third parish. That parish is not going back. Even though I may plead guilty to another first offense or what have you. Well, what I'm saying is, they don't spend the time and the money. That's why you see people with 10, 11, 12 DWIs until way down the line. Then they'll go back and get a what all.
So you're saying the police, it's their first DUI in that location. Right. And so they don't know they've had 10 others.
No. They know. And you'll charge them with sixth offense or whatever. But when it gets to the DA's office, they're not sending the people to get the voicinization, the records to be read into for basically, I mean, and now if there's a crash and somebody got hurt or whatever, they'll do it. But just DWI after DWI after DWI, they're not sending it back down. So you can be arrested 15, you have 15 charges of DWI, but it may still be a misdemeanor because they're not going back and reading the charges into the court record.
Huh.
I know it's effed up, but that's just the way that it is.
I'm surprised it's a misdemeanor. I thought DWI was a felony.
It would be if had they taken the time to go back. No, DWI is a misdemeanor. It's just like the first two, and at least in the state of Louisiana.
Okay.
Yep. But it's crazy. No, they shouldn't have a driver's license. But that's your legal system at work.
Yeah.
But they did. The Wisconsin guy, he had a valid driver's license after five DUIs.
You know, the charges that they charged him with were sixth offense DWI and second degree reckless driving. So right. There was no driving under suspension or no driver's license charges.
He may have been charged five other times when the DA gets it, because he wasn't boycanized in the lower cases. They can't make the sixth offense stick. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, if you're a DA and you get sixth offense, you might take the time to send somebody back down there to get all that information to read into the court record. It's a shitty,
and I mean, this guy
loophole in the law.
This guy, apparently, you know, you're playing with fire here. How long before you kill somebody?
Absolutely. I agree. Jesus. I agree. Hell, I've seen it happen in a case, I'm not going to say where the dude got a DWI and was released and got back in a vehicle and went down the road and got a DWI in the next parish.
Yeah, that is insane. There's no excuse, man. They got too many rideshare apps now. There's no excuse for that.
And it's really, it's an imperfect system, but I guess it's the best in the world. So let me tell you about another shitty driving situation. And on Monday, a South Dakota prosecutors charged a Sioux Falls man with first-degree murder and aggravated eluding in the death of a deputy. The deputy was struck while putting out spikes during a police chase. And, you know, that means that the police chase has been going on for a while. All the times I've had spikes put out, et cetera, and you call ahead, you know, you're in pursuit. Does anybody have spikes? And not every unit has them.
And there's an art to that, laying those things out.
Absolutely. And you got to rip them at the right time and everything else. But the deputy was struck while putting out the spikes during the police chase. And Joseph Gene Hope, 40, was ordered held without bail in the death of Moody, who was County Chief Deputy Ken Proak, 51, of Wentworth. And the murder charge carries a maximum sentence of death or life without parole. People close to Hoak, who's a bad guy, y'all, describe him as being on a downward spiral marked by drug use and escalating threats of violence. Madison police responded Friday afternoon to a call about a man identified as Hope making homicidal threats near the business where the caller worked. And police spotted his car and tried to stop him, but he hauled ass down Highway 34. Chase ensued, and they reached speeds of 115 miles per hour, y'all. And Chief Deputy Proak stopped to deploy the spike strips across the highway, and that's when the car intentionally swerved and struck him before the car went in the ditch and flipped. And the driver of this asshole Hoag was able to get out of the car and ran off on foot. And witnesses tried to administer first aid, but they were pretty much unsuccessfully, y'all. And one of the officers arrived, and the witness ran after Hoag and called him and held him until the cops got there. My heartfelt thank you to the witness. I know who you are. I appreciate what you did, Moody County Sheriff Troy Wellman said. Proak died at the scene, and Hoag was checked at the hospital, was not seriously injured. Basically, they interviewed him, and he waived his rights, remained silent. He told him he'd gone to the business to collect money owed to him by the person that called 911. And he claimed that he has problems with anxiety, panic attacks, and sometimes affects his memory. He claimed he had no recollection of running over the chief deputy. Yeah, he's full of shit. And investigators searched the car, found THC vapes, marijuana, paraphernalia, and blunts, and containers of cold medicine. And outside the car, they found an apparent bong and an unopened bottle of liquor. When asked about the drugs, Hope told authorities he suffered from pain and that he obtained the prescription. Boy, this dude's full of shit, y'all. He killed this cop because he's that fucking asshole. And I'm not reading the rest of the story. All right. And he, except for, say, Proak's a hero.
That's right.
In my eyes. And he gave the ultimate sacrifice.
That's right.
Douchebag.
Douchebag.
Going 115 miles an hour. Chase.
And
then deliberately running over.
Yeah, he swerved and hit him because he didn't want his spike strips.
Yeah.
And then lost control and hit the ditch. And then ran.
Yeah, I mean, those police officers have to get right up on the road.
Right.
Throw them out and pull them back.
You got to do, I mean, I've done it. And the car is literally passing. I mean, it's a dangerous situation. And he paid the ultimate sacrifice. To try, you know, at this dude, that had not happened, he could have ran to a carload of kids or something at 115 miles an hour and killed them.
That's right.
And I guess you're trying to get far enough ahead of the car that's being chased to where you know, they're you're laying the spike and you're out of the way before they.
No, you have to hold on to it.
In an ideal situation,
I'm not going to give away all the tactics. Let's just leave it at that. You have to be very close. And in an ideal situation, there are measures that you would use to restrict the vehicle's access one way. But obviously, that didn't happen in this case. I'm not going to tell any other shithead that wants to do it how they're going to stop them.
Yeah.
Ooh, oh, so, okay. I would assume similar things have happened to other officers.
Rest in peace. It happens all the time. And you know, they put on that badge and go to work, never know if they're coming home that day because some idiot like this.
That's right.
Rest in peace.
Hearts go out to his family. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of idiots, let's go to Cali. And we're going to talk about a man who had two machetes when he walked into an Albertsons grocery store. It's a supermarket in Southern California on Tuesday. According to LA sheriffs, the male suspect was found standing outside the store's entrance in Lancaster, California, with two machetes in his backpack when deputies responded to a disturbance call just before 9:30 a.m. The deputies tried to talk to the guy, but officials said he became agitated and grabbed the machetes in both hands and walked into the Albertsons. Once he was inside, deputies followed him in there. They tried to talk him into dropping down the machetes. He would not comply. They then tried to disarm him using less lethal options. I guess that's taser. Code for taser. Because witnesses confirmed that the deputies had tried talking to the man and then using tasers. And when that did not work, the suspect then suddenly charged toward the deputies, forcing all three deputies opened fire on this guy.
Good for him.
And killed him good right there.
Killed him good.
The suspect was rushed to a local hospital where he was pronounced dead.
And that's all.
No deputies or bystanders were injured. The man's name is being withheld until the next of kin can be notified, though authorities described him as a 35 to 40-year-old white male. Business owners in the area recognized the man. They believed him to be homeless. The sheriff's office said the suspect had stabbed an employee at a local gas station earlier in the day. The victim from when he first got there was treated for non-life-threatening injury. So nobody, you know, got hurt except the bad guy with the machetes got shot up good.
Very good.
Don't bring machetes to a gunfight.
That's right. Lancaster. You will lose.
That's right.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, it's Lundi Gras.
Don't bring him to Albertsons either.
Lundi Gras. Y'all, that's L-U-N-D-I for all you not from Louisiana. Like we say crew page, that's K-R-E-W-E. It's a play on Louisiana words.
That's right. So we're going to give you a little history on Lundi Gras for those who may not be familiar. Even our co-host on this show, Mike, may wonder where that is coming from, how we got that.
I do.
Well, let's get into it. Lundi Gras is a popular name for a series of Monday events that take place during New Orleans Mardi Gras. It includes the tradition of Rex, King of Carnival, arriving by boat. Now, this tradition actually began in 1874, but the term Lundi Gras, which is French for Fat Monday, was not widely applied until 1987 when the arrival was brought back as a part of a series of river-related events under the name of Lundi Gras. In 1874, 18 years after the beginning of the modern carnival celebrations in New Orleans, Rex chose to have a grand arrival in New Orleans from the Mississippi River. And once on land, Rex and his royal court were placed in carriages and driven through the city streets. The mayor and various city officials would present Rex with keys to the city and proclaim Rex's mythical and temporary rule over Carnival.
Yep.
Typically, the proclamation decreed that the beginning of Mardi Gras and Rex's reign at sunrise the following morning. The Rex landing was a success and quickly became an integral part of Carnival season, which are unique to New Orleans. No other country or parishes observed the Monday before Fat Tuesday. The landing continued until World War I stopped Carnival in New Orleans. When the parades again returned to the streets some 2 years later, the landing had fallen by the wayside in a seemingly casualty of the war to end war. In 1971, the landing was recreated for a one-time-only celebration of Rex's centennial, and in 1987, Rex once again made a grand arrival on the riverfront at the foot of Canal Street, but now with the phrase Lundi Gras attached to the events, which would include concerts and fireworks. Mm-hmm. The king of the Zulu and Pleasure Club parades also participated in the modern version of the event. The mayor of New Orleans usually attends as well to salute the two carnival monarchs and turn over the symbolic control of the city for the following day.
That's right.
So absolutely, that's what Lundi Gras is all about.
I'm great with that. The only thing I wish is that they could make a special appeal to let them have it for 364 additional days.
Yeah, and right. give
the mayor not have her flip the bird this year.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that Mayor Cantrell flipped the bird last year.
No, she's improved her behavior a lot. She's been through some behavioral modifications. So.
Well, happy Lundi Gras.
Happy Lundi Gras, boys.
I met the Rex guy last year. I didn't know it was that big a deal. I would have made a bigger deal of him being the Rex guy.
Oh, he's huge. Yeah.
Generally, if I'm not mistaken, they coming from different directions and the parades meet up and that's when they stop and the salute is done and everything else and the keys are handed over and the toast is done.
Yeah, it's a big deal and look, so unique to New Orleans.
It is unique to New Orleans, but there are Lundi Gras, you're more correct on that Tuesday, the next day, which is when they're giving them rain for on Lundi Gras, but they are almost every parish has its own parade from New Roads to Norwood, the smallest. To
oh yeah, New Roads has a great parade, Lafayette.
Lafayette and all of them. So it's a whole month long celebration, y'all, to begin the Lenten season. But let's go to some kinky. Kinky,
a little delayed kinky crime music today.
Lundi Gras.
As we reflect on Lundi Gras.
That's right. So we'll take it out of the state of Louisiana and let's go to Florida, where a 38-year-old woman was arrested last week for threatening to kill her ex-boyfriend and this new girlfriend if the couple did not have a threesome with her.
Whoa.
All right.
She wants to be involved.
Yes. Cynthia Ann Ray was taken into custody on Christmas Day and charged with one count of ag stalking and one count of written threats to kill. This after deputies responded to a home on a 911 call about a report of criminal mischief. Upon arriving at the scene, first responders immediately encountered an adult male who identified himself as Ray's ex-boyfriend and explained that Ray had been harassing him in inappropriate ways. The boyfriend prefaced his latest complaints by numerous past instances in which Ray had threatened or wronged him in some fashion. For example, he claimed she had recently slashed the driver's side tires on a truck his new girlfriend had recently gotten while the vehicle was parked outside the home. Then after they replaced the tires, he came back and did it a second time, y'all.
That's a Carrie Underwood.
While honking the horn outside the house. He also claimed Ray had shown up at his home unannounced multiple times the past few weeks without him wanting her to be there. And he told deputies he had been receiving disturbing messages from Ray.
God dang, this man is crazy.
Right. And showed them how he was receiving messages from Ray in real time, even while the deputies were there.
Oh, wow.
He then pulled out his phone and showed the message to which he had not replied. However, there were numerous messages in a short period of time. The messages that he was receiving the cops were on the scene were over random topics, but stayed consistent, saying with Ray saying vulgar language to him and telling him she loved him. The defendant did send a message to the victim saying she wanted to have sexual intercourse with him and his girlfriend, and if not, she was going to kill them. The boyfriend then sent a message back to Ray asking that she stop contacting him. And she said, she said she did not care what he wanted and she would continue to send him messages. And they found, the cops found Ray. She was inside a tent put up on her mom's property. She claimed she had not left the residence all that evening, but deputies said the hood of her car was still hot from having been recently used. Mm. And inside the car, the cops found a knife. And they took her ass to jail.
Dang. And she was serious, man.
Yeah, she's all about that business.
She's all about that business.
She looks unhappy. She looks unhappy.
I'm on a threesome. I'm going to kill you.
I will kill you.
I will kill you.
Yeah, that's not going to work. That's not going to work.
Lady, I have enough trouble getting, you know, getting my member over here to cooperate. If I know I'm at gunpoint, there's no way it's happening.
Yeah, right.
That threesome is out of the question.
I can perform under all circumstances, even under gunpoint.
Anaconda man can do many things.
Well, there you go. And let's get some banjos.
What are you calling for the banjos today?
He knew. He read the field and knew it was time. So many great dumb criminal stories begin with the same three words.
Dumb criminal stories?
No.
I don't know if it
was. Once upon a time?
A Florida man.
Oh, okay.
A Florida man named Pete Simmons, as a matter of fact, in this case, had worked in banks his entire career. He was nearing retirement, and the fact that he would barely retire with enough to afford the small apartment he and his pet cat, Marino, named after a certain football player, lived in really bothered him. He had been around such huge sums of money for decades, yet he had relatively little. That's when he decided to use his knowledge of bank procedure to make a one-time gambit. Pete decided to rob the Chase Bank on A1A in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He watched the bank for weeks and knew that Thursdays between 5 and 5:15 p.m., an armored truck would arrive to reduce the bank's cash on hand. Striking just prior to the truck's arrival would net him the largest loot.
There you go.
So Thursday afternoon at 4 p.m., precisely, he walked through the bank's front doors. His training taught him that successful bank robbers take an immediate action to frighten people in the bank so they don't get too brave during the heist. Without looking, Simmons fired his 9mm Sig Sauer up into the ceiling.
Good gun.
Mm-hmm. Approximately 1.5 seconds later, a large ceramic tile landed on his fucking head, knocking him unconscious.
That's a mess.
As he began to regain consciousness in the back of a patrol car, he swore he could hear the sound of banjos playing outside.
That was a good one.
Gotta watch them tiles.
Can't shoot the ceramic tiles.
Yeah. Nah. They couldn't rob him today in Louisiana anyway. Banks are closed.
That's right.
Poor Pete.
Yep.
Worked his whole career coming up with that plan.
Well, you know what? Mike, you're really screwed tomorrow. Yep. You got to get out and in the city.
Yeah.
It's easy to record unless you're going to cry uncle now.
Oh, I'm all good. No worries. I get the jet.
That's right.
If I need to get on the train,
just take the helicopter. We landed in a field.
Yeah, everybody, and happy Mardi Gras.
Happy Mardi Gras.
Hot air balloons out of commission, I think. So
yeah.
Chopper will do it.
Yeah, we can shoot down the hot air balloon. Only takes one hole in that sucker. So we love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. And if you're not in Louisiana, we hope you have a happy Lundi Gras anyway. And
I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Everton.
You guys are ending the show abruptly. I want to remind everybody that we've got a great new partner, Besame Cosmetics.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Definitely want to tell
them. Dude, you got to check it out. Go to any of our social media, click the link. It is first class.
And look, if your man is a Valentine's Day loser like Mr. Overton.
I'm the winner.
This is your opportunity to make your own Valentine's Day, because these people have incredible stuff. It's BesameCosmetics.com.
It's not only cosmetics.
Use the code RLRC. It's all kinds of vintage
compacts
stuff.
It's vintage Hollywood classic stuff. And you get a discount.
What's the website they go to?
BESAME, by the way, BesameCosmetics.com. BESAMECosmetics.com, code RLRC will get you a 15% discount on any purchase.
Yes. There you go. Code RLRC.
Get you some.
All right. Until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Everton.
And I'm Mike Agavino.
Your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Congrats.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.